It's Thursday and time to read from your comments.
Our story about a woman named Suzanne who's single in her mid-40s and was trying to become pregnant through artificial insemination brought in a number of comments.
Including this one from Jennifer Bedell of Amherst, Massachusetts. When I turned 36 with no prospective husband in sight, I made a choice very similar to Suzanne's. I assumed I'd be able to conceive with little difficulty. Unfortunately, Ms. Bedell writes, I learned that my biological clock had already run out. I think hearing more stories like the one that Suzanne bravely shared will do a lot to educate younger women about the myths and realities of fertility as they approach middle age.
J.C. Hollander of Winston-Salem, North Carolina, had a very different reaction. I can't imagine anything more disgustingly selfish than the behavior you reported on, and I would say glorified. He continues, the fact that others, through insurance, paid for the procedure 4 times is sickening.
Jane Auger of Arlington, Massachusetts, echoes that opinion. She writes, listening to Suzanne's story about the trials of a single, well-off woman trying to become pregnant by expensive technological means made me extremely uncomfortable. How many tens of thousands of healthcare dollars have been spent in this pursuit? And how many adoptable kids are out there who would love to have a home with a nice mommy and good health insurance?
J. Judson Wynn of Flagstaff, Arizona, wrote in upon hearing our story about Indian ruins in Utah. After keeping a major find of ancient homes and burial sites secret for 50 years, the state went public with it last week.
The next time you report on the ruins at Range Creek, you will most likely be analyzing the problems Utah state land managers are facing with looters, Mr. Wynn writes. When you do, please be sure to acknowledge that NPR assisted in heightening awareness regarding this cultural treasure.
Our coverage of the death of Marlon Brando brought this critique from Frank Chambers of Stillwater, Oklahoma. After a very nice piece on his complex life and important contributions, I was very disappointed that you included silly imitations of Mr. Brando at the end of the program. This segment was in poor taste and certainly disturbed my thoughts of his art.
A correction now, in a story this week about the bankruptcy of the Roman Catholic Archdiocese of Portland, Oregon, we misidentified the speaker in a piece of tape. It was not plaintiff James Devereaux, but his attorney, David Slater.
And finally, this letter about the impending departure of Chicago Symphony conductor Daniel Barenboim. Barenboim is leaving, he says, because of the pressure to raise money and perform other non-musical duties. Jobs, he says, stars in other arenas, like Michael Jordan, would never be asked to do.
Your piece makes it clear why classical music has a reputation for being out of touch with real life, writes Michael Martin of Columbia, South Carolina. Michael Jordan wasn't asked to be a personality and to promote his sport and his team? What planet is Mr. Barenboim from? In sports that depend on sponsorship, the way classical music does, the extra demands on the athletes are even greater than on conductors. How much time does Lance Armstrong spend keeping his team sponsors happy?
Happy or not, you can write to us. The address is atc@npr.org. Please let us know where you live and how you pronounce your name.